This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. An organization that financially supports women business leaders in Santa Barbara is celebrating its 25th year this year. Women's Economic Ventures got its start in 1991, offering a microloan fund and self-employment training program. In the years since, it's worked to establish an equitable and just society through the economic empowerment of women. President and CEO Marcia Bailey is the organization's founder and joins us now to talk about the challenges and successes of the past quarter decade, as well as the ongoing vision for the future. Welcome to Issues and Ideas, Marcia.
Thanks so much, Randall. It's a pleasure to be here.
So in 1991, what was going through your mind when you decided to launch such an initiative?
Well, it was interesting. So in 1991, I had been working with in the field of women's issues, primarily in crisis intervention, had been a single divorced woman for a while, was a college graduate, and had a really hard time supporting myself. And I thought, you know, with all the privileges that I've had, if it's this hard for me to support myself, how hard must it be for women who didn't have the privileges I'd had? You know, a woman who maybe was divorced and had kids, was a single parent, hadn't been as well educated, a woman of color, things like that. And so I really looked around me at what was being done to address the issue of certainly that self-sufficiency issue, but also there was a lot of information coming out at the time about the pay gap between men and women. And basically, you know, around that time in the late 80s, early 90s, a female college graduate earned the equivalent of a male high school dropout. So those were kind of, those were the things that really got me thinking about what can we do to put more money in women's pockets.
And so when you decided, I'm gonna try this method to empower women financially, was there resistance? Were there people that said, "Oh, that's not gonna work"?
There was, you know, it was really interesting. Some of the resistance came from women themselves who felt like, oh, you're gonna teach women how to start cleaning businesses or beauty salons or, you know, what they thought of as very traditional women-owned businesses. And I said, well, if that's what they want to do, yes, that's what we're going to do, because I firmly believe you have to meet people where they are, you know, in the areas where they feel skilled, where they have where they have a level of comfort. And I really felt like there's nothing wrong. If a woman wants to start a cleaning business, she can probably make a lot more money owning her own business than working as a cleaner in a hotel for a minimum wage. So there was some resistance. You know, there was resistance from people who took more of a point of view of not being really happy with that being a capitalist kind of model. And my response to that was, well, yes, we live in a capitalist society. So on one end, I had, you know, some women saying, well, that's so capitalist. And on the other end, I had people saying, that sounds communist to me.
So you couldn't win, right?
You know, especially when you couldn't win, especially when I started to talk about, you know, the borrowing circles that we initially started up, the peer lending groups. And that's where the communist comment came from, you know, anything that was kind of cooperative, I guess.
Marcia, do you remember your first client or two?
You know, what I remember most is the first day that we had scheduled basically an information session about what we were trying to do. And my board president and I had scheduled this at the downtown public library in Santa Barbara on a Saturday morning. And it was in a room down in the basement. And we didn't know. I mean, we just did not know whether people were going to show up or not. And So we walked into the library together at 10 o'clock and we started going down those stairs and we heard this, just this babble of voices, and we looked at each other and we just like, oh my God, they came. It was just, it was an amazing experience. And just right from the very start, we realized that we had hit on something, that there was a need for something to be done.
How did you get the word out back then? That's pre-internet and email.
Yeah. Boy, we did a lot of grassroots kind of stuff. You know, we did flyers and, you know, went around and posted them on bulletin boards in grocery stores and laundromats. And, you know, you remember the ones with the, you put the little tear-off sheets on the bottom with the phone number to call, you know, like, you know,
right,
when you want to sell your used car or whatever. We talked to a lot of other organizations that were serving women. We started acquiring mailing lists. So, you know, a lot of what we were doing, you know, we were also trying to raise money. And so we'd be getting mailing lists and sending out letters trying to solicit donations. And people would pass those letters on to women who they thought could use our services. So it kind of, you know, served multiple purposes. That's really how we got started. I did a lot of speaking for local organizations, women's organizations, Rotary clubs, things like that. We were on a very small budget when we started, so it was very grassroots. I think we even went so far as to, you know, do the flyer under the windshield wiper thing, which you can't do anymore.
So over the past 25 years, I imagine you've come in contact with some women who have really taken this offering and used it to its biggest potential.
We have. And, you know, that's to me one of the most interesting things is just, you know, our mothers were right when they said you get out of something what you put into it, right? So the people who take advantage of the most services that we offer tend to be the most motivated and the ones who are the most successful. So there's a couple of local organizations that we talk about a lot because they have grown so successfully and they're very visible. One is called Say Cheese, which is started out as a local gourmet cheese shop, and now it's a full service caterer and cafe. They've been around now for, I think, 14 or 15 years, and we helped them with a startup loan of $25,000. And then there's another organization or business called Chocolat du Calibresson, which is a French chocolatier, and his wife, he's from France, but he's become an American citizen, and they've created a very successful business with two locations where they make their chocolate in Carpinteria, and then they have a store in La Arcata in downtown Santa Barbara as well.
Now you say he, so has your mission expanded to include more than just women?
It has. We serve men and women both. About 15% of our clients are men. In the beginning, we were very sensitive to wanting to create a safe environment for women to learn. Just having seen a lot of the research about dynamics in a classroom. And so what we did actually, very early on, we did have men show up and say they wanted to take the training. And so we almost always had two classes. And so we would ask the class, are you okay if there's a man in your class? And there was always one class that was okay with it. Sometimes there were classes that were not okay with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we never, ever had a problem with a male in the class. And, you know, over the years, it's grown. And I've just kind of come to the conclusion that if a guy is feels good about coming to Women's Economic Ventures for services, he's the kind of man that we want to have around, you know.
Yeah.
He's not threatened by being in a room full of women. And so, you know, one of the for a while early on, we actually provided services in San Luis Obispo before Mission Community Services opened their program. And I remember very clearly a man who graduated from that program and going through our graduation ceremony, and he got very teary-eyed, and he said he learned more in our 14-week program than he did in 2 years of business school.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, you don't have to be a woman to really appreciate the kind of service and the kind of environment that we provide.
Marcia, what sort of changes have you seen when it comes to society and women in business over the past 25 years, if any?
Well, there have been a lot of changes. So, you know, when we started, you know, in the late 80s, when we really started planning this project, the most visible women in business were, you know, in cosmetics. They were Mary Kay and Estee Lauder, you know, Mary Kay with her pink Cadillacs. And other than that, you did not see a lot of high profile women in business. And so a lot of people, you know, would say to me, oh, you should get, you know, successful business women to support you. And it's like, well, where are they?
Right.
They, you know, they had a very, and it's not that they weren't there. They were there, but they tended to have a very low profile. And one of the things that we've always thought is really important is the power of successful role models. And so we really reached out to women business owners around the community and asked them to come in and speak in our classes. And we still do that. We have men and women both who come in and speak, but the power of that, you know, of having a successful woman come in and say, if I can succeed at this, so can you. That's really been the I think one of the bedrock principles of our program and one of the things that our clients say does really help them build their confidence.
Is there anything that you today would want to tell your 1991 self say, don't do this or, you know, move more forward in that direction?
I know, you know, it's so funny when you know, a lot of business owners say, you know, if I knew then what I know now, I never would have started my business. So ignorance is bliss in some respects. You know, I would tell my younger self to ask for help. It's just, I think a lot of us grow up in family cultures, you know, those where you're supposed to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do everything on your own, and that somehow if you ask somebody for help, then it means you're weak because you need help and you're not supposed to need help. And so I really learned that, you know, number one, it's hard feeling like you have to be the smartest person in the room all the time and have all the answers. That creates a lot of stress. Number two is, believe it or not, there's people out there who are smarter than you are. And, you know, being able to hire those people and bring those people on my board of directors over the years is really what has created such a strong organization. And so for me, what I had to learn to do was just, you know, zip my lip and sit back and listen, you know, and ask questions and not feel like I had to solve every problem and every challenge myself.
And so consequently, since that was a big learning curve for you, is that then information that you share with women who come on board and you tell them, hey, I learned this and I want to give this nugget to you, ask for help?
You know, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I enjoy doing most is really mentoring younger women. I speak often in college classrooms, and I've mentored other women leaders around the country who are running similar programs. And you know, one of the interesting parts about mentoring and consulting is so often you don't really know what you know until somebody poses a question or brings up a situation that they're facing, and you go, oh yeah, that's happened to me. This is how I handled it. And it's just, you know, I found so many women were so generous to me in that way when I was starting up this organization. And so I really feel an obligation, and I don't mean that in a heavy sort of way. It's an obligation that I am just so pleased to be able to fill.
Now in 2016, are we in a good time for women in business?
That's a yes and no kind of a question. Yes, in that women are starting businesses at 2.5 times the rate of the national average. So that's good, because that tells us that women see this as a viable option now. I mean, that's one of the real differences I see now 25 years later, is that when we started, a lot of our clients were what you would call necessity entrepreneurs, you know, people who had lost their jobs, especially older women who faced even more discrimination in the traditional job market. And so self-employment for them was kind of a last-ditch effort. They figured, if nobody else is going to hire me, I'm going to have to create a job for myself. Now we see a lot more women who see self-employment, starting their own business, as a viable option for them to create a livelihood. The bad news is that women still start businesses with roughly half the amount of capital as men. And so women-owned businesses are still much smaller in general than male-owned businesses. 70% of women-owned businesses bring in less than $25,000 a year in annual revenues, compared to about 48% of male-owned businesses. So that's one of the things that Weave is really trying to change, is not just helping businesses in the startup phase, but really helping them stabilize and grow so that they can create more income, create more jobs, you know, create some assets for a family, because that's really how a family moves out of poverty, is by creating assets, and a business can be one of those.
Santa Barbara State Senator Hannabeth Jackson last year passed her women's pay equity bill, got it signed by the governor. Is that a big step forward for women here in the state?
It is. And, you know, that's really one of the things that motivated me to do this, because, you know, in my personal career prior to being in the nonprofit world, there was a big gap between what I earned and what I saw the guys around me earning in the same business. And one of the things that we see about women-owned businesses in general, and some of the research, is that women do tend to provide better pay and benefits for their employees. And so, you know, I mean, I think it's a good thing all around. There was just there's some news on this morning about the pay gap and some of the kinds of things that are being done to try and get corporations to address that immediately, rather than just kind of letting this change on its own. Because in the last census, I think it only went up, I think that the gap declined by a penny or something, from 78 cents to 79 cents or something, that women earn on the male dollar.
Women's Economic Ventures now at 25 years. Where do you see it at 50 years?
Well, I see myself retired.
All right.
Finally, I hope. Although some of my staff think I'm immortal, but I know I'm not. You know, I guess I should say that in 50 years, any good nonprofit that's trying to solve a social problem, I would hope that social problem doesn't exist anymore. That we kind of succeed ourselves out of business. Knowing my history, that probably won't happen, just because change is slow. But I would like to see us really thinking big. I mean, I'd love to see Weave with a venture capital fund and really supporting the growth of women-owned businesses. But hopefully there won't be as many that need our help by that time.
Well, founder of Women's Economic Ventures and now president and CEO, Marcia Bailey, on 25 years of helping women succeed financially in the business world. Thank you so much for joining us here on Issues and Ideas.
Thank you so much, Randall. It's been a pleasure.
And this is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White.